They have been oppressed and afflicted, and God, out of His great mercy and compassion, has appointed Moses to go and lead His people out of Egypt. And Moses goes and he does all these signs and wonders, and God sends the plagues against the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And Pharaoh finally lets the people go, and so they go out through the wilderness, by the way of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh has this change of heart. He goes and pursues the Israelites again. And Moses parts the water, and the people of Israel walk through on dry ground. And as Pharaoh's army comes chasing after him, the waters come and crash down upon them. And it's here, as the Israelites wander through the wilderness, that God enters into a covenant with His people. He imparts the law to them, and He leads them up to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And you remember that the 12 spies go out and they spy out the land, and they come back and say, the land is great. It's everything we could have asked for, except the people are just too big. The land is too fortified. We can't take it. And so because of their lack of faith, their lack of courage, they will die in the wilderness, except for a couple of men, Caleb and Joshua. And so a new generation arises up, and that's where we find the book of Deuteronomy beginning. That we find Moses and the people of Israel in the land of Moab. And it's here that they take a pause, you could say. And Moses, as they stand on the threshold of this new land, Moses will give exhortations and warnings to remind the people that they need to be faithful to God as He gives them this land. He provides these exhortations and warnings to remind them to be obedient to God. And you know, as I thought about that, it became clear to me that there's a comparison here to what we're doing this evening. Because just as Israel stood on the threshold of a new land, we stand on the threshold of a new year. We are about to embark on a journey into this new year. And I think there's some things here from the book of Deuteronomy that are important for us to understand and remember as we go into this new year, if God grants it to us. And what I want to do with you tonight is to consider three commitments that Moses calls the people of Israel to make as they go into this new land. Three commitments that are relevant and applicable to us as we make our own journey into this new year. So as we think about being on the threshold of 2018, I want you to notice the first commitment is for the people of Israel to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. As we go into this new year, remember the Lord. You know, we are a forgetful people so many times. Regardless of the commodities that we have with planners and our phones and calendars, we are just a forgetful people. No matter how many times we write it down or put it into our phones, we just forget these things in our lives. But could there be a greater negligence on our part than to forget the Lord and who He is and what He's done for us? You know, it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? We come here on opportunities like this for at least that purpose. That we come and we remember the Lord as we study His Word and we read about Him and the things that He's done. That we come and we partake of the Lord's Supper as some of you just did, and we did this morning. And we remember the greatest sacrifice that has ever been offered. And we remember that death, the burial and resurrection of our Savior. And it brings to our mind to remember the Lord and what He's done. But what about when we leave here? How much do we remember the Lord when we leave here and go about our lives? And what do we think about? And do we remember Him by the way that we live our lives? And as we journey into this new year with however many days God may grant us, we have to make sure we're remembering the Lord. To take time to remember on a daily basis who He is and what our response to Him should be. And Moses is quick to warn the people here that you need to remember what the Lord has done for you, what He's doing for you now, and what He's going to do for you in the future. And if Israel needed that reminder, don't we? To be reminded every day of who the Lord is and what He's done as we stand on this threshold of this new year. And so I want you to notice Moses challenges the people in this regard in two ways. To number one, remember your slavery in Egypt. Remember that at one time in your life you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but God brought you up out of it. Go back into that time in your memory and remember the oppression and the affliction and the hardship that you endured by the hands of the Egyptians. Remember that time in your life when you were in need and you were helpless and you came to understand how much you were dependent upon God. Go back and remember that time. That when you cried out to the Lord day and night, He heard your cries and He rescued you from your slavery. And how as God brought you up out of the land of Egypt, He provided for you day in and day out. He provided the manna for you to eat, the water to drink, the clothing on your backs. God never let you go in need. He provided for you day in and day out. And every time Moses mentions to go back and remember your slavery, it's for a purpose. Because he wants them their lives to be changed by the fact that they were slaves and God delivered them. Notice a couple passages with me. Look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. As Moses is repeating the Ten Commandments here, he says in verse 15, "You shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." I want you to notice that connection, that when they go back and remember that they were slaves, it's supposed to lead them to follow God more wholeheartedly in their lives. To keep God's commandments and obey Him and follow His will. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 24. Turn over to Deuteronomy 24 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17. It says, "You shall not pervert the justice, do an alien or an orphan, or take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I am commanding you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field, and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien, and for the orphan, and for the widow. And when you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and for the widow. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not go over it again. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow. You shall remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing." I want you to notice that the reason they were to go back and remember that they were slaves in Egypt is that it was supposed to change their life completely. That they begin to follow the Lord and obey His commandments. That they treat their fellow man the way God treated them as they were in need. And as they were destitute and helpless, God provided for them. And so it's supposed to change the way you honor God and the way that you treat your fellow man. And think about it, that we too were slaves to sin. We too were oppressed by a much harsher taskmaster. We were in desperate need of a Savior to deliver us from the problem of sin. And we go back to passages like Ephesians chapter 2 to show that we were helpless. We were enemies of the cross of Christ. We were in need of someone to redeem us from our sin. We were living lives without hope. And then you come across those two words that change everything: but God. But God, being rich in mercy, gave His Son and loved us by giving His Son to deliver us from our sin. And God has provided for us, provided for our deliverance through the blood of His Son. And I want you to notice that God expects something from us too, in view of everything He's done for us. That God's grace is not a license for us to go on sinning and living any way that we want to live, but it's supposed to change us. And to go on living a sinful life, going back to that old man of sin, would be to treat God's grace as if it were cheap grace and didn't matter at all. But the grace of God instructs us. It trains us. Go over to Titus chapter 2 with me. Look at Titus chapter 2. And I want you to pick up with me in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." You see that idea there? That when we understand the grace of God, that it is supposed to change our lives, we come in obedience to the gospel and follow His will, but not only that, we live transformed lives, denying ungodliness and sin, but living God's lives that are godly and righteous, lives that anticipate the return of God's Son, our Savior, and lives that are zealous for good deeds. That's what the Lord wants us to remember as we go into this new year. But I want you to notice a second aspect of what it means to remember the Lord. And the second thing Moses tells the people is to remember the blessings God will give you as you enter into the land. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me. Moses is telling them to remember that as you enter into this land and you receive all of these blessings, remember the God who gave them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And pick up with me in verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." As they go into this land and they get to partake of these great blessings God has provided for them, the cisterns and the food and all of these different things, it would be a temptation for them to go into this land and just partake of all these blessings and totally forget the God who gave them. We have to understand, they needed to understand, we need to understand that we are here where we're at today, not because of how great and wonderful we are, but because of the God who has been gracious and so good to us. That it's not anything we've done of our own. We're not self-sufficient people, but we have these blessings because of the God who gave them. Notice another example of this in Deuteronomy chapter 9, as this is further talked about, as Moses, or the Lord, tells them that He's going to drive their enemies out from before them. And this clarifies this whole idea. Deuteronomy chapter 9, look at verse 4. It says, "Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out from before you, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them from before you. It is not for your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you're going to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people." And Moses goes on to show the talk about the incident of the golden calf, which shows their stubbornness and how they've rebelled against the Lord. And so all of this is talking about this same idea. And then he closes in Deuteronomy 10. Notice one last passage with me considering this. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. That God requires something from His people if they're going to enjoy the blessings that He gives. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. "Now Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all of His ways and love Him and to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes which I'm commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and to the highest heavens and the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them. And he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and for the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. In all of this, I want you to remember that as we stand on the threshold of 2018, and we enter into this new year that God will bless us with, Lord willing, and we begin to partake of the blessings that God has in store for us, not only physically, but more importantly, spiritually through Christ. To remember that He is the giver of all those good and perfect blessings. To remember that we're here today not because of how wonderful and great we are, but because of God. And He deserves everything that we have to give Him, our praise and devotion, our commitment, and so much more. He is worthy of all of that. May we treat our fellow man just as God has treated us and taken care of us. And so let us take heed and be watchful, lest we forget the Lord. I want you to notice the second commitment we need to make as we stand on the threshold of 2018. To smash our idols. To tear down our idols from the high places of our lives. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 with me. As Israelites stand on the threshold of this new land, one of the dangers that they're going to face is to get involved with the idolatry in the land of Canaan. Just as there has been a challenge for them all along. And Moses warns the people over and over again that these nations are going to try to entice you and lure you away from serving God and to serve all of these idols. But I want you to notice the solution that God gives in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them from before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. And furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. Notice verse 5. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. God wanted his people to remain set apart from the nations around them. And so he says, as you go into this land, you have to destroy and utterly destroy your enemies. Don't let any of them stand, because God in his wisdom knew that if they let them stay in the land, they would be an influence upon them and lead them further and further away from God. And so he says here to not make a covenant with them. Don't let your children intermarry with their children, but to tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, hew down their asherim and burn their images with fire. God was not going to tolerate idolatry from his people. And the reason for this is found in verse 6. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. I want you to consider that God's people were supposed to be, to not only treat him as holy, That God is set apart. God is not like all the other gods among the land. God is a holy God who demands their reverence and their worship, to give their commitment to Him and Him alone. But they were to live holy lives, to come out from the nations among them and be different people set apart, where their love and devotion was wholly given to the Lord. But I want you to notice what's said in verse 16 as well. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 16. It says, "You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for they would be a snare to you." And then verse 25. "The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is in them, on them, nor take it for yourselves, or you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God." Think about the imagery of someone, a hunter, who goes out and he lays a trap for some animal of prey, hoping that he can lure it in to trap it up. And he sets out a snare for it. That's the way these idols would be to the people of Israel. That it would trap them up. It would take them away from God. They would make all these promises, but could never fulfill them. These idols were empty and could not profit the people. You know, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, there's not much has changed in regards to idolatry. It continues to be a problem for us today. And it may not come in the form of a golden calf, but our society is plagued with modern day idols that will take us further and further away from the Lord. Things like wealth, materialism, our image, jobs, and the lesser, the subtle idols that we struggle with social media and the internet and all of those kinds of things. We have to identify those modern day idols of our lives and tear them down from our lives. And just like Israel's idols that became a snare to them, our modern day idols will become a snare to us. You know, sometimes we look to these idols to find security in and safety in or solace from a world of turmoil. And we begin to think that these idols are always going to be there for us and we can lean on them and trust in them. Yet we find we will be utterly disappointed if we put all of our trust and confidence in them. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God. The faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. The only one who will be there through the thick and thin. The only one we can find refuge and solace and protection with is our God. We have to give our wholehearted devotion and worship to Him. God has called us to be a holy people just as He is holy. To live different from the world around us, to remain set apart, and to worship Him and Him alone. And so as we make this journey into 2018, I hope that we'll resolve in our hearts that God is going to get the best that we have. He's going to be priority in our lives. And we'll put away those idols that have begun to push Him away from our lives. I want you to notice the third thing, though, with me. The third commitment that Moses calls the people of Israel to make, and it's this, to embed the Scriptures into your life. To integrate the Word of God into every part of who you are. And as you look at the book of Deuteronomy, much of what Moses is doing is going back to the law and reminding the people of the law and encouraging them to stay faithful to it. And the law was to be central to everything that they were, the central part of who they were as God's people. It was to dominate their thinking and their actions and the way that they lived their lives. Notice a familiar passage that we all know, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. This is what Moses tells the people in regards to letting the Word of God be a part of them. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What Moses wants them to understand is that you need to keep God's law in front of you in every part of your life. To impress the Word of God upon your heart and upon your mind, being so acquainted with them that you could be able to teach them to your children or your grandchildren at a moment's notice. When they gather around you at your house, you use those opportunities to teach your children or your grandchildren. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk upon the way, when all of those situations. And so every day was supposed to be an opportunity for God's people to impress His words upon the heart of their children, that they might come to their own journey of faith in learning about the Lord. And it was vital for them to have the Scriptures embedded into their hearts and mind, and never let an opportunity pass them by to teach those around them. Can we say the same in our lives? How acquainted are we with the Word of God as it pertains to teaching our children, grandchildren? As you walk outside with your children and you bask in the beauty of God's creation, do you use that as an opportunity to teach your children about God's glory and His majesty? And the same God who created all of this is the same God who made you in His image. And when you're at home and your children are around you, and maybe they're studying their Bible lesson and they have questions about that, do you use that as an opportunity to impress the words of God upon the hearts and minds of your children? It was clear that there were going to be times as they enter into this land that their children were going to ask their parents about what the testimonies and the commandments of God mean. Look at verse 20 of chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord your God has commanded you?" And you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs against wonders and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us and give us the land which He swore to our fathers. And so the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us." If God gives us this new year, there'll surely be opportunities where the same kind of thing happens in your home. Will you be prepared to answer those questions as well? To go back and tell them that the Lord has delivered us. The Lord has delivered me, and He gave us these commandments to fear Him for our good always. And it would be our survival as it is today. As Moses ends the book of Deuteronomy, he leaves them with some final words that pertain to this idea in chapter 32 and verse 44. Deuteronomy 32, verse 44. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he with Joshua the son of Nun. And when Moses had finished speaking all of these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you will prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. Do we understand that we hold in our hands the Word of God? It is not an idle word. It's not something that is empty or vain, but it indeed is our life. That God in His graciousness and compassion has given us His inspired Word, which is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. That this is our life. It will do us well all the days of our lives as we seek to live godly lives that please Him. We're so blessed to have this at our fingertips. To come to know the Lord more with each day that He gives us. To come to know what He expects of us as His people. To come to know what it means to live a godly life and to learn from the things that have been written as we study tonight. It ought to be something that we find great joy and delight in. Something that gives us joy to be able to study on a daily basis. And so I ask you, what changes are you going to make as you stand on the threshold of 2018 in regards to your Bible study? You make it a priority in your life. It's going to be something that you ponder and reflect on as you go about your days. Make the commitment to embed the Word of God in your life. You know, I think it's fitting that we end tonight, in this year, by looking at Moses' words in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, Moses says this, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." Which path will you take as you journey into 2018? Will you take the path that leads to life, that leads to an eternity spent with your Creator, with your Maker, with God, the God of heaven, to spend eternity worshiping Him and spending it with His people? Or the path of sin that leads to destruction and eternal separation from God forever? You see, it does us good. Before we jump into 2018 and rush into it, it does us good to pause at our own Moab and consider the great significance of remembering the Lord. Remembering what He's done for us and the blessings that He's given us and what our response to that should be. It does us good to remember, to take those idols and remove them from the high places of our lives. And it does us good to embed the Word of God into our hearts and minds that would give us opportunity to teach those round about us. And it would lead us to a life that pleases and glorifies our Creator. This is a time in life where people make a lot of resolutions. Whether that is to eat better or to exercise more, to read more. And people do a lot of self-inventory and self-reflection. But the greatest self-inventory that we can do is to consider where we're at spiritually. What our life is like with the Lord. What our relationship with God is like. What our life looks like. Our walk with the Lord looks like. We're about to sing a song of invitation. I am resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have a Lord my side. Is that you tonight? Are you resolved to leave the path of sin and come back to the Lord and make your life right with Him, whether that's obedience to the gospel or just coming back from a path of sin and as a child of God and coming back and making things right with the Lord? Wherever you're at, I want to invite you to come now as we stand and sing this song of invitation.